Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Going on in our lives, and we feel like God's far away, and we feel like, you know, we're not entirely sure whether he's got everything in control or not. And it's really hard in those moments to sing these songs and go, God, you're so wonderful, and, you know, God, everything's kind of rosy. But, you know, it's not just about feelings, and it's not just about kind of emotions, and it's not just about, like, everything is roses and kittens, but it's about declaring the truth. It's about declaring his power and his might. You know, there's some, I had a couple of scriptures here that kind of start off, thanks, mate. The first one I've got, and it kind of talks a little bit about, you know, because I know that there are some of you and it's like, you know, singing's not the number one thing that you love to do. Now, obviously that doesn't apply to very many of the Filipinos in our church, because most of them kind of really enjoy singing, don't they? Don't they, Nori? Yeah. No, it's not exclusively, but, you know, there's lots of us that really enjoy singing, but yeah. Exactly right. You know, some of us really enjoy singing, but nobody else enjoys our singing. But, you know, but God does. That's right. He says, make a joyful noise. There's a couple of passages of scripture I just want to draw your attention to, which kind of really take singing and worship and praise out of the realm of something that the people who are good at singing do, or the people who love singing do, and kind of put it into the realm of something that believers do, something that we're commanded to do. So let's have a look at just this couple of scriptures here. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says this. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So Paul's writing to the church, and right along with teaching the message about Christ, he says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, now none of us here would suggest that in our church services and in our worship, that teaching the message about Christ and all the stuff about Christ isn't very important. Like, I think we can all agree that's probably a fairly important thing to do when we get together, when we come together for church. We all need to learn, be instructed, to be growing in our understanding of the gospel, of Jesus' teaching, of what the message about Jesus is all about. Yeah. Paul also puts singing psalms and singing songs, if you like, singing, you know, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, a hymn is just another name for a song. It doesn't necessarily talk about a specific kind of song. It's just a word that means a song. It says singing is actually right up there in importance for us when we get together, as learning about what Jesus, the message of Jesus, learning about the gospel. So we can't kind of sit back and go, well, I like the Bible teaching, but I'm not into the songs, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for the bit that I like. All right? Scripture commands it. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. That's good advice right there. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. You might not be very good at making music with instruments, but there's no reason why you can't make music to God in your heart. It says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a couple of things. I kind of just wanted to establish that there's a biblical mandate, an instruction, a command for us to worship, for us to actually sing songs of praise to God, even if we aren't that excited about singing, or even if we're not really that good at it. We're never going to be, you know, any Jimmy Barnes or, you know, I don't know, whoever you think is a good singer. We're never going to be Darlene Check or, you know, anyone like that. But, you know, we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus to actually sing praise. Why is that? Why is this a command? Why is this something that isn't just, oh, well, you know, if you enjoy singing, then this is just one of the many ways to express your worship to God? Because we know that worship is more than just songs, don't we? And we talk about that quite often. But why is it more? Why does Scripture take it out of that realm of just, oh, this is just one of the ways that you can express your worship if you choose to this is something that you need to do? And I want to just talk about a couple of things. Okay, firstly, praise gets our focus off ourselves and back onto God. Praise gets our focus off of ourselves and back onto God. It is really hard. You know, imagine, if you like, you remember the story of David and Goliath. All right, and all of Israel, like Goliath there is with the Philistines, and he's calling out for 40 days. He taunts and he yells out and he calls out to the Israelites, and he's demeaning them and he's making fun of them, and you know, and all this kind of stuff. And for 40 days, what are the Israelites focused on? You remember the story? What are they focused on? That they are fearful, but the object of their focus is who? Goliath. Exactly right. Their eyes are fixed on Goliath. They're looking at Goliath. They're going, wow, he's strong. You know, wow. Like, there are details recorded about how heavy his, you know, how tall he is and how heavy his armor is and how long his spear is and all this kind of stuff. They were really focused on how big Goliath was. Now, David comes along, and what is David focused on? David's not focused on Goliath. He's not worried about Goliath. David is focused on who? God. David says, hey, my God is powerful. It doesn't matter who this, you know, this filthy Philistine is. It doesn't matter who this, you know, guy who doesn't have respect for the God of gods is. I know how powerful my God is. And when we, there is something really powerful about focusing on God instead of focusing on ourselves. Focusing on God instead of focusing on our problems. Hebrews chapter 12, the first couple of verses would be familiar for many of us. It encourages us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It says, run with perseverance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on him. Yeah, that's it. You follow along with me, and if I've got any there, then you put them up. That's awesome. Some good breeding there. Absolutely, absolutely. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus. I don't know if you've ever, who here has ever ridden a motorbike? A few of you have. You guys will know that when you're riding a motorbike and you see an obstacle in the road, what do you look at? You look at where you want to go and not the obstacle. I discovered that very early on, that when you're riding a motorbike, or probably a push bike, I think it's similar, but particularly with a motorbike, if you are focused, if your eyes are on the obstacle that you're trying to avoid, somehow the bike just kind of gets closer and closer and closer, and it's really hard to actually, you end up steering towards it. But what we actually need to do is actually need to focus our eyes on the bit, because our bike follows our eyes, if that makes sense. And a lot of, for us as Christians, our life follows our vision. Our life follows our eyes, and what we focus on is the direction that our life begins to take. And if we are focusing on our problems, and if we're focusing on the obstacles, and if we're focusing on the enemies, then our life seems, they kind of become bigger and bigger and bigger. But if we focus on Jesus, we tend to head in the direction of Jesus. And we find ourselves drawing closer to Jesus, and Jesus takes care of the other stuff. When we focus on God and not on ourselves, it helps us to get away from complaining and negativity. And it's really easy when we're going through struggles, when we're going through hard times, to kind of get into that mindset of woe is me, isn't it? And woe is me, and I've got this problem, and I've got that bill, and I've got this issue, and I've got this medical problem, and blah, 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 and where is God in it all, and why doesn't he see my problems? You know, David, yes, David in the Psalms, and you know, is a great example for us in how we praise and worship. He's an awesome example for us. And you know, yes, that it is okay for us to actually talk to God about stuff. I'm not saying that you can't talk to God about the things that you're dealing with and the issues that you're going through. David sets that great example, and he brings all of his stuff before God, and he says, God, my enemies surround me, and you know, they you know, entrap me from every side, and they lie in wait to snare me, and all this kind of stuff. And we can talk about that kind of stuff with God. But it kind of, you know, like David, we also need to keep our eyes on who God is. We need to keep our eyes on how powerful God is and how able he is to deliver us and to rescue us, and not allow ourselves to get, you know, kind of caught up in the what about me kind of thinking, you know, like Shannon Knoll, what about me? That kind of thinking kind of just leads us into that place of going, you know, well, if God doesn't, you know, we just want God to fix all our problems and to solve all our things and to, you know, do everything that the way that we would want him to do. And when he doesn't do that, we kind of go, well, you know, I'm angry with God. You know, that kind of thinking leads us into that sort of thinking that says, God should solve all my problems, rather than the place of humility that says the God that we worship is actually the King of Kings, the Lord of the universe. There's a couple of scriptures here. Praise and worship helps us to get to that place of humility where we remember how much we need God. How much we're dependent on him. Remember that he's in control, and it puts him back on the throne. Psalm 95, verse 2 and 3 says, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. Psalm 89, verse 6 to 8 says, for who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. O Lord God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, Lord? You are entirely faithful. And Psalms is full of these kind of scriptures. And you know, we read, you know, and a lot of these are kind of David's kind of heart pouring out. This, we see this kind of attitude that David has, that it doesn't matter what's happening around to me, God is awesome. God is worthy of praise. God is bigger than I am. God is bigger than my problems. God is bigger. And it brings us back to that place of going, you know, if God is God, I'm just a human being. Like, yes, we know that we love him, but there ought to be that kind of that fear of God that's in us, that recognizes his holiness, his power, and his majesty. So praise gets our focus off of ourselves and back onto God. Number two, praise is a powerful weapon for spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Ephesians 6:10 talks about being in a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and all that kind of stuff. And that's why he says you need to have spiritual armor and you need to have spiritual weapons. And, you know, the praise for us as believers is a powerful spiritual weapon. One of the songs that we've been singing a lot just recently, it's a relatively new one that we've learned, is that song Surrounded. And it has that, there's a line in, I think, the first verse or one of the verses that says, our weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Our weapons are praise and thanksgiving. And it's so true that praising God and giving thanks, turning our attention and our focus to Him in worship is a powerful weapon. And it goes on, and there's that bit that kind of gets stuck in your brain that goes, this is how I fight my battles. And I think sometimes it's almost like we can sing that and not actually recognize what it is that we're actually singing. For me, that as that song's been going around in my head, as it has, I'm sure, for some of you as well, but that comes back to that. It's praise, and it's giving thanks, and it's worshiping God that brings that power when we're in that spiritual battle, when we're feeling under the pump, when things aren't going right. You know, what do? How do we fight back? It's with praise. We turn to worship. And for some of us, I think we need that reminder. Obviously, this morning, you know, that's the kind of what's been coming through from the Holy Spirit for us this morning, is that reminder. If you are struggling, if you are in a battle, if you are fighting, if you don't know, if you feel like God's far away, or you're not sure what's going on, or you don't feel like you're on top of things 100% spiritually, praise. Begin to worship. Begin to, you know, put on some music. You don't have to wait till Sunday. Put on some music, you know, in your headphones or your stereo or whatever. Get it turned on, whatever you can sing along to, and begin to lift your voice in worship to Him. I want to read a story from 2 Chronicles. If you've got your Bibles, we'll open them up to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And the beginning of this story essentially is there's a king in the king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, I always think of Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. I don't know why. I don't know where that saying comes from, but I don't think this is the same one. But there's a great army. All the nations around about Judah, they've gathered together. They've kind of formed this alliance, right? There's three different nations, and they are marching on Jerusalem. And King Jehoshaphat, he gathers together all the people to fast and pray for God to deliver them, because they don't have a hope. Like, they have got no chance. This army is just massive that is marching on them. And the Spirit of God speaks through a man named Jehaziel, who was a Levite. And he gives him this prophetic message, and we're going to pick it up in verse 15 if you're following along. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. So Jehaziel said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Anybody ever tells you that worship is supposed to be quiet and serene and reverent, you can point them to this verse of Scripture, okay? Sometimes there's a place for that, but there's also a place for being loud in worship, all right? Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. How would you like to be a singer in that assembly? Yeah, you know, you've gathered the army together, right? You're going out to meet an impossible foe, like a massive army that you cannot possibly hope to defeat, all right? And you're kind of like, you know, oh, well, I should be safe, you know, I'm just kind of one of the musicians back here, all those soldiers, they'll be off before me, and if they start losing, I can turn around and run away, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, hang on a minute, you're going to be at the front. But it's a little bit crazy, isn't it? You know, in human reasoning and human thinking, you don't put musicians at the front of the army. They're not usually your typical frontline soldiers. It might work. Let's see, eh? So the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. What do they have to be thankful for right in this moment? Circumstances around them are not kind of what, are not exactly what you would describe as ideal, are they? If we go, you know, we are surrounded by an invincible army. This is not really the moment where you think, wow, I just feel thankfulness welling up within me. You know, but they make a choice. By faith, they give thanks. And you know, I think this is so key for us. You know, sometimes our circumstances and the situation around us is not one that prompts us to say, well, you know, I just have thankfulness welling up from within me because of all the awesome stuff that's happening. But by faith, we can choose to say, God, I give thanks to you. Your faithful love endures forever. Look at this verse in verse 22. I think we have it on the screen there. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. At the very moment when they started to give praise to God, God stepped in and fought for them. And, you know, sometimes, God, doesn't it sometimes seem like God leaves things to the last minute? Doesn't it kind of sometimes seem like, you know, God's timing just needs a little bit of a tweak? You know, but sometimes, you know, there's that, you know, God's timing is perfect. And, you know, there is power as we begin to actually praise and give thanks and say, God, in faith, I'm going to worship. In faith, I'm going to give you praise for your faithfulness. In faith, I'm going to declare of your love. And God says, this is awesome. He goes on, the armies basically turned against each other and destroyed each other completely, and the people of Judah walked off with all the plunder. I didn't. It's basically what it says, right? You know, they came up over the rise, so they couldn't even see. It's verse 24 says, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies. Up until this point, they didn't even know what was going on. They're just singing away by faith. They're praising by faith. They're lifting up their voices to God with the singers going in front. You know, and they finally get to this point and discover God's already defeated the enemy. Isn't that awesome? Not a single one of the enemy escaped, it says. Bloodthirsty lot, aren't they? But when God gives you the victory, you have the victory. God doesn't give you half a victory. When God says, I'm going to fight your battle, God just obliterates the enemy. He wipes out the enemy. Praise is a powerful weapon in spiritual war. Praise, you know, one of the reasons why praise is so powerful is because praise invites God's presence. Praise invites the presence of the Holy Spirit. James 4, verse 7, he's talking about, you know, spiritual warfare. Here he says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right, spiritual warfare. Well, the very next verse says, come close to God and God will come close to you. You know, our power is in direct proportion to our proximity to God. You know, we want to have that power of God operating in our lives, we draw near. We come into his presence. No enemy can stand in the presence of Almighty God. No evil thing can exist in the presence of Almighty God. And if we want to get rid of that stuff from our lives, one of the best things we can do is to come into the presence of God where, you know, light banishes darkness. Light casts it out. God casts out all that kind of stuff. You know, one of the other powerful things is that our, you know, one of the things that spiritual warfare can do to us is it can leave us feeling really tired. It can leave us feeling really exhausted. It can leave us feeling run down, like we're just at the end of their rope. I don't know how much longer I can survive. One of the things about praise is that it lifts us up. It builds us up. It refreshes us. It renews our strength. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength." Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know when it says that word that says in that first line that says those who wait on the Lord, that word for wait means to linger expectantly. So you're kind of, you're hanging around, you're lingering, you're waiting around, but with hope, but with expectation. And there is that sense of those who put their trust in the Lord, those whose hope is in the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, and can I tell you what a fantastic way to do that is? You'll never guess. Praise and worship. Lifting up our voice in praise and worship to God is an awesome way to do that. To lingering expectantly. We put our hope in Jesus. We focus on Him. We focus on His strength. We focus on His power. And as we do that, we focus on His love and His care and His dedication, His promises that you know, to be a father and to protect us. As we focus on those things, our hope grows, doesn't it? As we focus on those things, we become expectant. As we remind ourselves of the promises of God and His faithfulness to fulfill every single one of His promises, we begin to think, I reckon God can come through for me in this situation. I reckon God is powerful enough to protect me. I think that God is able to provide for me everything that I need because He's made a promise to do so. And as we focus on Him and who He is, that we start to get, you know, renewed. That hope, that expectation starts to give us new strength as we wait on Him and His presence. Praise paves the way for God's power to be displayed and miracles can happen. Let me read you another story in Acts chapter 16. You might know this one. There's a song that we sometimes sing which kind of has a little bit about this. It's about Paul and Silas. Remember Paul and Silas? There's a story about... we'll just read. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 16. So this is in this... Paul and is in the city of Philippi, which is a Roman colony. And it says this in verse 16. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her," and instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. That's always a good recipe for ticking somebody off, isn't it? So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. Not exactly true, but, you know, suits their purposes. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." All right. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. That doesn't sound very comfortable to me. Huh? I wonder why. It doesn't sound like a very pleasant position to be in. It doesn't sound like the kind of moment, if you can put yourselves in their shoes for just a second, you've just been beaten severely with wooden rods. You are black and blue. There's probably a few broken ribs, probably some internal bleeding and external bleeding. Yes, that's right. Lots of bruises. You would be sore. You would be hurting. You can't even get yourself into a mildly comfortable position to lay down in this dark, dingy dungeon where there is no light, because your feet are in stocks. It doesn't sound like the kind of situation where you just go, ah, let's just sing some worship songs. God is so good. Verse 25 says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. That's an interesting little observation, isn't it? One of the things that praise does is it brings glory to God, because people around us hear. Suddenly, verse 26, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Praise brings freedom. Word of God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we praise, as we worship, as we welcome the Holy Spirit, as we invite in His presence, it brings freedom. And the chains aren't always literal, but everywhere you go, there are chains. And God hates chains. God hates bondage. He loves to set people free from chains. It's interesting, isn't it? It wasn't just Paul and Silas's chains that broke off. I have no idea how many people might have been joining in with them singing. I suspect very, very few, if any. But Paul and Silas's choice to praise and to pray and to worship God in the midst of that circumstance, there was no, God, why are we here? God, why didn't you protect us? God, you know, there wasn't even any, God, can you heal us of our injuries? It was, God, you're so good. That is powerful stuff. I can tell you what, when by faith we choose to say, God, you are faithful in a circumstance like that. And God, I believe God honors that kind of faith. And God steps in and moves when we exhibit that kind of faith that says, it doesn't matter what my life looks like right now. I'm just going to worship God. I'm going to choose by faith to worship Him. And look at the results of what happened. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. That kind of failure by a guard would result in death. That would be the penalty for such a failure. Letting all your prisoners go, your life is forfeit. So he's gonna do it before anyone else has a chance to do it in a less pleasant way, right? But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all still here." That's a bit of a miracle in itself, I think. You know, you got a jail full of... If we had a jail today and all of a sudden the doors were open and there was nothing holding them back, how many of them would still be there for very long? Oh, they'd be out that door like a rocket. But the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, we interpret that question in kind of a Christian context, don't we? And we think, oh, he's asking about salvation. He wasn't. He wasn't. he's still concerned about his neck, right? At this point, he recognizes that there's something supernatural going on, but at this point, he has no idea what it's all about. But how does Paul respond? Paul responds. He knows how to respond. He's not to worry too much about what the jailer's thinking. He's going to tell him anyway, all right? He's going to give him the gospel. And he says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. And then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. That is a powerful story. That is a powerful illustration to us of the power of praise. The power that comes into our lives and into our situations when we choose to fix our eyes on God and not on our circumstances, not on ourselves. You know, in life we have a choice. We can choose to worship. There's nobody looking over our shoulder. There's nobody who's going to force us to sing a song. There's nobody who's going to force us to worship God. You know, we can come into church on Sunday morning. We can sit there, and either not sing, or we can kind of sing without really much heart behind it. You can choose to do that. But if that's kind of the heart that we come into worship with, we shouldn't expect to see any real great transformation in the circumstances of our life. We shouldn't really expect to have a wonderful encounter or a moment with the living God if we're going through the motions. We have a choice to battle with human weapons or to battle with spiritual weapons when we're going through our struggles and our trials. We won't always feel like praising God. There'll be moments when in our lives, and you all know this, I'm sure, where it's really hard, and it really comes down to making that choice of by faith saying, God, I know that you're there. Of saying, God, I know that this circumstance that I'm going through is not the end of my story. I know that this circumstance that I'm going through is not beyond your ability, is not beyond your power. And we can choose to worship him. We can choose to draw near. There are all kinds of things that the enemy will throw at us to keep us at a distance from God, isn't there? Now, there are circumstances, that's just the tip of the iceberg, but there's all kinds of things. Relationships with other people, offense, shame, guilt. You know, there's so many people that go, well, I could never draw near to God because God wouldn't want me to. There's so much shame and guilt bound up around who they are and their identity because of the lies that the enemy has told them. The Bible talks too about bringing a sacrifice of praise. And sometimes praise and worship is something that we choose to bring and offer to God. To me, that doesn't mean sacrifice in the sense of, well, I'll do it, you know, sort of begrudgingly, even though I don't really want to, I suppose I'll do it anyway. It's about making a choice and saying, I'm going to bring... the Israelites, when they would bring sacrifices to the temple to offer to God, they didn't bring the warmed-up leftovers of what they had to God. They brought their first and their best because that was what God demanded. That was what God expected. And for us, you know, there'll be times when we don't feel like it, but we can make a choice still to say, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to bring my first and my best. Now, the best that I'm capable of right now might not be that good, but I'm going to bring you the best that I have. I'm going to bring you the best that I can, and I'm going to offer it up to you because you are worthy of my praise. You are the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and you deserve my worship. You deserve my devotion. You deserve my praise, whether I feel like it or not, whether I'm happy with my circumstances or not, whether I, you know, whether I'm happy and whether I'm, you know, sad, whether I'm struggling, whether I have plenty, whether I have nothing. God, it doesn't matter, because that doesn't change who you are. And even if I'm facing an invincible foe, I'm going to start to praise. I'm going to start to worship. I'm going to start to lift up his name in praise and by faith, knowing that God can bring change if he so desires. Scripture says that there is power for your spiritual walk in praise. That there is joy, that there is peace, that it glorifies God, and that it helps us to live and walk in his presence each day. I don't know about you. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at right now in your life or what things are going on. But for me, I need strength. I need his power. I want his joy and I want his peace. I want that, you know, that I want to glorify God in my life. I want to live and walk in his presence each day. And so for me, and I think for many of us here, we need to make that choice to lift up our voice, to go, you know, it doesn't matter if I really love singing or not, because God deserves it. There is power in it, and so I'm going to praise. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you for the stories that we've read this morning, the passages of Scripture that we've looked at. God, we thank you that you make it clear in your word that you honor the faith that says, I'll give glory to God in the midst of challenging, difficult, impossible, troublesome circumstances. Lord, that says, I'll fix my eyes on you and not on my problems. Like David, we fix our eyes on how awesome and how powerful our God is and not how big the enemy seems to be. Father, we know that there is nothing that is impossible for you. There is nothing that is beyond you. And so, God, we choose to make a habit in our lives of lifting up our voices to you in praise and worship. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you pour out in our lives when we do that. Lord, that you bring your peace. God, that you bring your joy. Lord, that you bring healing. Lord, that you bring strength. Lord, that you bring protection. Lord, that you bring provision. God, that as we focus on you and fix our eyes on you and lift up our voices and declare your praises, God, that you come and you draw near and you invade our life and you invade our circumstances and you bring your will to bear on the things that are happening in our lives and around about us. And God, that is our desire. We don't just want to be people who give mental assent to the gospel that kind of go, yes, I believe it's true, but don't live in the power of the presence of God. Father, we want to be people who know your presence, who know your power, who know what it is to live and move and walk and operate and function in the presence of the Holy Spirit day by day by day by day by day. And God, there are times when we get it wrong, and there are times that we're slack, and times that we're lazy, and times that we're distracted, and times that we're ashamed and we can't bring ourselves to do it. But God, help us in the midst of those circumstances. God, help us to turn our thoughts back to you, to turn our minds back to you, to make a choice. To make a choice to worship you, to make a choice to praise you in every circumstance. God, we thank you for your unfailing love. Lord, your faithfulness that embraces us and welcomes us back every time we take a step towards you. God, you just draw us back in and you say, I've been waiting for this. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We declare that you are an awesome God, and we praise you in this place. Lord, help us to be mindful, Lord, to find opportunities, Lord, all through the week. Lord, let us not be content to just wait for Sunday to worship, but Lord, let us be worshipers in spirit and in truth. Lord, let us be worshipers that look for every opportunity. God, that the enemy will not be able to shut us up and keep us quiet, but we will be people who speak out your goodness, will sing out your goodness from the rooftops, mighty God, and declare your praise and bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.